What is up, guys?
Hey.
Back again with another podcast here on Too Real with Mike and Jillian Rosato. It is Wednesday. We are here. We are ready. Let's do this. So if you've been following along in past podcasts, the week is here. It's here. Chase is graduating from high school on Friday.
Friday.
Or Saturday, depending upon what the weather does.
Yes.
And I'm like all in my feels. You are too, but you hide it. I just randomly start crying in the car. And I'm not kidding.
No, she's not. Literally yesterday, we're driving back from North Jersey. We're in the car for, what, an hour and a half?
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what we were talking about. You just broke down and started crying. I'm like, what just happened?
I'm like,
get it together.
We're going to take him to college and we're going to leave him there. And like, he's not going to come back home with us. And I'm like crying. And then I start laughing because I'm like, I know this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I just told Mike, just prepare yourself for these last 3 months of him being with us. I'm going to be crying a lot.
What did we do wrong? Like, our parents couldn't wait for us to get out of that.
That's such a lie, though.
But do you remember, like, that? They were just like, all right, see ya, deuces.
Yes, and then if you talk to your mom cried the entire way home.
Yeah, which I partially don't believe it. Sorry, Mom.
He doesn't believe that you love him.
I've never seen... No, I believe she loves
me. Just let her love you.
I believe she loves me. I just... I've never seen her cry, like...
I mean,
for
she
something
cried,
like that.
She
for
cried three
like
times at Chase's prom. So I believe that she cried on the ride home from dropping off from college.
Okay. Yeah.
So, maybe. But I'm going to be crying a lot the next 3 months. And I said to Mike, I was like, podcast topic, what did we learn in high school? And before we get into that, like, let's give them an idea of who we were in high school. So I've been talking a lot.
Yikes.
Give us like a little like... inside look on Mike Rosato from the years of 1995 to 1999, because we both graduated in 1999. So give them the rundown. Let's go. Put it all on the dance floor.
So again, this podcast is called Too Real, which is, we're probably beating a dead horse with this, but she did not prepare me for this question.
I didn't. It's too real.
So I just want to pinch her under the table right now. Who was Mike Rosato 1995 to 1999? So prior to 1995, I had this secret life that even my mother didn't know about, a lot of people didn't know about, where I sold drugs, you know, under the radar of a lot of individuals, right? So I had these fake cover-up jobs, paperboy, worked at Wawa, which is a convenience
what
store.
What paperboy makes the money that you were pulling in?
I don't know, man. All I know is that, yeah. But then, you know, that ran its course. I got into some trouble with that. And so then my mother pulled me out of public school to put me in a Christian high school. So that starts 1995. So 1995, I was still just this arrogant kid that was feeling myself a little too much because I had some money in my pocket. But going into Christian school, stopped selling drugs, stopped hanging out with the crowd that I was with. But you ever heard the phrase, you could take the boy out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the boy. So in Christian school, I was like cussing a lot and still my own ways. And everyone's like, I felt like my whole freshman year, people were appalled to be in my presence. Like straight up, they'd be like, I can't believe you said that. To the point where I tell this story often, where in my freshman year of high school, there was a Bible class that I was going to. And I got caught cheating on my scripture memory verse.
Pastor.
Yo, so that's
Oh my goodness.
That's like a easy pass to hell right there. So, yeah, so, you know, but something happened where, you know, throughout my high school career, and obviously that made you popular, if that makes sense.
Because you were the bad boy.
Yeah.
I would have totally dated you.
But you would have broken up with me around my junior year.
Absolutely.
Because I just started cleaning up, you know, like a bunch of things like just took over my mindset of, hey, you're a leader, you're better than this. So I started cleaning myself up. So by 1999, I flipped the script. You know, I was captain of the baseball team on varsity baseball, 4 years of high school, did a speech at graduation, And
it's not shocking to me
so
at all.
So that's how I ended 1999.
Look so, at you. Yeah. Look at you. What was your style in high school? Like what group were you?
It evolved so much. Going into it, I was more like street fashion. I might lose 89% of our audience with this, but I had I had Jordans, I had lug boots, big baggy, you know, they had standardized dress. So I had big baggy like khakis and a Tommy Hilfiger polo shirt. Oh, like everything was big and baggy.
Yeah.
And,
but that was the time too.
Yeah, that was the time. My JanSport book bag. Come on, somebody. Yeah, so I had that. But then I evolved because hanging out with these preppy people, I started ordering from like J. Crew magazine. And,
oh my goodness, do you remember? You couldn't go online. You had to go on the catalog.
On the catalog.
Did you call it in or did you mail in the form?
No, I called it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's wild J. that it used Crew. To be like that.
I know. J. Crew. J. Crew and Eddie Bauer. Is Eddie Bauer still a store?
I have no idea.
You remember Eddie Bauer?
Yes.
Yeah, so I would order from them. A lot. So I had a preppy phase.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end of high school, I got into a little bit of like a punk phase.
Oh.
So I went from hip hop to preppy.
Like chain wallets
punk.
And.
Yeah.
Did you paint your nails at any point of your life?
I didn't paint my nails, no. But okay. I got into punk rock.
Okay.
Because I started playing bass and that kind of stuff. So anyway, so that was my style.
I love it.
So I'm done talking about myself. I don't like it. I don't like it. Your turn. Who were you?
Oh my goodness.
In the late 90s.
Oh.
In the late 1900s.
Lord. Okay, so
don't your kids make you feel mad old when they say you were born,
you were
in,
born
the,
in the 1900s? Like shut up.
Yeah.
Jill in high school. I was a wild child, man.
I know.
But here's the thing, like
is it bad that I pray for you, like prayers outside of time and space, so I pray for the high school Jill. Not the now Jill, I pray
well,
for
like,
the
here's the thing. I was smart. Like, I didn't have to study and stuff, but then, like, towards the end of high school, I just decided, like, I just don't want to go to school. So we did this thing called the homeroom bounce. Like, we would come in for homeroom, so we'd be marked there, but then we would leave, and then, like, all of our teachers would see that the other teachers were, like, they weren't here. So we somehow got away, when I say got away very loosely with it, like they just thought we weren't here and we were marked absent by, or we were marked here by accident, but then someone turned us in, and then the assistant, we were just talking about this with my mom the other day, the assistant principal's calling my mom a couple weeks before graduation, like Jill's missed 41 days of school and she's not walking at graduation, but we fixed that. But Jill in high school, always looking for fun, never taking things seriously. I guess I was in the popular crowd, you could say. I hate that. Like, makes me, like, cringe now. But at the time, that was, like, so important. Started off freshman year playing soccer and softball and then quickly quit after that because I was smoking cigarettes too much. And I was grounded for most of high school because I was always just finding my way into stupid situations and getting caught because I was not the brightest. No common sense, crazy book smarts. And style wise, started off very grungy. I wore my dad's jeans, flannel shirts, and then moved into, all the girls my age will remember, the black pants and a top phase. Like you wore those black like flare pants. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
They were like stretch. They were like black leggings, but they were flare at the bottom.
Oh.
And you wore them all the time. There's always memes like, what are you wearing to go out? Like late 90s, early 2000s, black pants and a top. That was always the answer. But yeah, I enjoyed high school. I had fun in high school. But I didn't take it very seriously.
Hmm.
And that's like what leans us into like, what did we learn in high school? Because we had told Chase going into a senior year, like, do everything.
Yeah.
Like, go to all the senior events, do all the things. And he was like, nah, like, I don't know. We're like, no, like, live, like, take it all in because it flies so fast. But we're going to talk through a couple things. Like, this leads us right into the first one. Like, cherish every moment because one day you'll wish to relive them.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that I do regret not taking high school as seriously as I could because I had the potential, but I was always more interested in having fun than doing my work. And I'd be interested to see where I would be right now if I had taken high school really seriously. Because again, never did homework, never studied for tests, like would pay attention in class sometimes, but it just came really easily to me. But if I actually like pushed myself, I wonder where I would have ended up school-wise and stuff like that. Because for those of you who don't know me, I went off to college my freshman year and came home at the end of freshman year and didn't go back, went to community college afterwards because I chose fun over school and I failed out.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's like the opposite. I ended school strong, so I don't regret not taking it serious. It's almost the opposite. I regret not soaking up every ounce of fun, those fun moments, the moments that were, that you didn't have to be academic, the moments that, because sometimes I, even today at 40, at the time of this recording, we're 42 years old. Sometimes I'm like, we're watching things. Like we were watching a documentary on Netflix called Trainwreck. It's about Woodstock 99.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was a dumpster fire.
It was a train wreck.
Yeah, it was a train wreck.
It was well titled.
But remember you and I think talking about like, oh, remember we wanted to go to that and those kind of things.
Yeah, I wanted to go to Woodstock 99 so badly. Right. I remember because they had it in 94 also, I think, or 95.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it on MTV and being like, I need to be there. Mm-hmm. So then 99, I was like, I would have loved to go on. And then seeing it, you're like, oh, thank God. Yeah, like that looks like hell.
Right. Yeah. I think I didn't go there, but I don't know why, in a twisted way, it still makes me long for reliving those moments that I had in 99. Like when you hear the music and sometimes like those certain songs, there's certain songs that bring you back to certain moments.
Yeah.
And just like it just reminds you of the brevity of life. And it reminds you that you just don't get those moments again. And the same thing now watching Chase grow up and watching our youngest Hunter grow up. Like we see, you know, I think time hop is torturous to parents.
Because I cry every day.
Right. When like, you look at it, and it's just like, it felt like yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And you can't get yesterday back.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's a, I don't want to say it depresses me because it's not that. It's not at that level of sadness, but it just reminds you that okay, now moving forward, now because I have so many moments that I didn't, it's more regret. There's so many moments that I felt like I didn't cherish enough. I cherished them,
yeah,
but I didn't cherish them enough that moving forward, you know, when we get into that stage where we start having grandkids, I'm gonna cherish every minute.
I'm in no rush, but I cannot wait.
Right. You know what I mean? But when those moments come, like for me, I'm teaching myself to, on Friday at Chase's graduation, I'm just going to cherish. I'm going to pause. I'm not going to rush the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That, I guess the thing I'm learning from all this is, number one, I didn't cherish the moments enough. And number two, why were we so, like, we're just always in a rush. For what?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Yeah.
Why are we so always on a rush to move through from moment to moment?
Yeah.
And it's, I know that to me, it's probably the achiever in me and that kind of stuff. But the older I get, nothing matters more than moment. Like achievement. Here's the tweetable moment.
Oh my goodness. every episode.
Achievement can't hold a candle to precious moments. And the faster you get to that revelation, I think the better your life will be.
Do you need a tissue?
Maybe.
I feel like you're going to get emotional this episode.
Since it's basically the night, just going to be through REM. Everybody hurts.
Oh my goodness. What was your music in the 90s? Like in high school?
It evolved with my fashion.
Oh, yeah.
I went from Wu-Tang Clan, Lords of the Underground, Cypress Hill to Goo Goo Dolls. Then to like, you know,
Spin Doctors.
No, never Spin Doctors. But then, you know, MXPX, I don't know if people know, Green Day.
Yeah.
You know, Blink 182, that kind of stuff.
That is funny. So the next one that we came to conclusion is that you can't make comparison to someone's highlight reel. And I feel like that's high school and life in general.
Yeah.
Because you could look back at someone's high school experience and looking at where they are now and be like, oh, I bet you they were this in high school. I bet you they were that in high school. And like, people look at me like, I'm married to a pastor and I work for a church and a church program.
Yeah.
And you would think that I was like straight out of Christian high school, like all like goody goody. And I was not. So
you were the girl that everyone told me to watch out for. Yo, but that point,
I wasn't the worst of my friends either. That's the funny thing. Like some of my friends were like even more wild than I was. So like,
so I picked the cream of the crop.
The good one. Yeah.
But you can't compare yourself to someone else's highlight reel because it's all fake.
Yeah.
I found this out the day of my graduation. This was like the big moment of epiphany when not everyone. So it felt like in the moment it was everyone, right? But after graduation, you know, everybody went to their homes or had like, you know, like we're going to have drinks and apps and everything like that. But then, you know, the student just goes and hangs out and parties for the rest of the night. And we didn't have project graduation at a Christian high school. So we all went to go hang out. I think we went to Wildwood or Ocean City. I forget, there's some short town in New Jersey. And I remember it felt like everyone. It wasn't everyone. So I don't want anybody from my high school to email me right now. I'm like, that wasn't me. But it felt like so many people that judged me along the way were getting drunk, wilding out that night. And I was just like, in the back of my head, I'm like, y'all threw so much shade at me. In the beginning of my high school career.
And now you're doing what and you're treated, shaming me for.
Yeah, and treated me like I was the heathen of all heathens.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, I was just like, I wasted these last 4 years comparing myself to these people because I really did not know the things that they were struggling with behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lesson that I propel forward, that it's dangerous to compare yourself to someone else's highlight reel because it's their highlight reel. They're giving you the parts of them that they only want you to see.
Yeah.
And so you're stressed out and you're anxious because you're not being like them, or you're not hitting this level, or you're not hitting that level. And maybe behind the scenes, they're not hitting that level.
Yeah.
So it's a waste of time. And so I had to just focus on being my best, not being the best in the classroom, because it's not fair, because I'm comparing myself to their highlight reel.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And they look like, and it's not, again, it's not everyone, but like the valedictorian looks like they have it all made, but like you don't know what happens at home. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know how they're feeling, all that stuff. And that's not to say don't aim for that. It's just you don't know.
You never know. Yeah.
I mean, my pictures look perfect on Instagram sometimes, but then like the other day I'm eating rotisserie chicken at the table and Mike's looking at me. He's like, you're disgusting.
I was like, I've never seen you like look so carnivorous. Like you
were I was just like raging hungry.
Borderline cannibalistic. Like I was just like, ew, why are you?
Yeah. It was like a drumstick and I was just like scarfing it down. He looks at me and he's like, ugh.
I was like, I married her.
And like with that, things aren't as devastating as they seem.
Right?
I got over it.
Right?
I got over your shade while I was eating rotisserie chicken. But no, think about it.
In high school, all those little things
seem
so devastating.
And that's, we've had this conversation with both of our kids. Like I remind them, I am friends. I am like in touch on a daily basis, like friends hanging out with one person from high school. Granted, do I talk to some of them on Instagram or whatever, see them out in public, hey, how are you? But like, I'm in relationship with one person from high school.
Yeah.
So like, when this person's talking about you or this person broke up with you, oh my goodness, the breakups, like you thought your life was over. And some of the guys that I went out with in high school, I look back and I'm like, what was I thinking? Uh-huh. Like one of them went to jail. Like I knew how to pick them, but like, and I wasn't perfect either. So like, I'm not crapping on any of them. Well, not all of them, but like just things that seem so devastating. Uh-huh. And it's like looking back, because we've been out of high school for, oh, wow. 24 years now. Oh my goodness, we're so old. 24 years now. I was about to say, what, like 20 years? No, we're at 24 now. Those things just seem like blips on the radar, not even blips on the radar. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just wild, the things that, like, they do seem so important.
Yeah.
But on the grand scale of things, we do try to remind the kids that it's like, it ain't that big.
And that's, and that happens when your world is so small.
Yeah.
When your world is so small, those little things do seem devastating because they feel so big.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And I'm not trying to downgrade anyone's trauma either. You know what I mean? But like, looking back, like, I had that one moment where I was going to take this girl to the prom.
Oh,
and
this one.
And she, you know, I thought everything's great. And I think it was like a week or two before the prom, her dad found out that I was Puerto Rican because I was in my preppy phase. I don't know. And you know, she said she couldn't go with me anymore because her dad didn't approve. Mm. And so, I mean, I remember, like, I've faked it really well. Like, I didn't let anybody know that I was, like, hurting from that moment. But yeah, it was really devastating to me.
Wow.
But looking back at it, like, hey, it's racism. It's, you know, it's, and again, I'm not downgrading the trauma, but it just seemed really big. It felt like I wasn't going to, it's just what I'm saying. It felt like I wasn't able to recover from that moment.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When you're that young and your world's that small, you feel like you can't recover from that.
Yeah.
And the older I get, like, yo, you could recover from some bigger things.
Yes.
Than that.
Yeah.
Everyone can recover. You're more resilient. There's some tenacity. There's some grit to each and every one of us that you can recover from those things.
And anytime you hit like a struggle, like, it makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. It does. It really does. You know what's funny? I'm realizing we both had prom dumping situations, but mine was not as, I feel for you and yours. Mine, it was my fault. Mm. So
look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us. And then,
fun fact, Jill, we were at the bank adding ourselves to some accounts this morning, and we were reminded that weird thing that Jill's social security number and my social security number,
this is a tangent,
are very close.
The first five digits are exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Which is weird.
It is very weird.
I don't know.
Anyway.
All right. So the significance of learning from mistakes and taking responsibility for one's actions. I made so many mistakes, so many stupid mistakes, so many situations that I'm like, I was such an idiot. Like, I put myself in dangerous situations. Like, we used to cut school and go over to Philly and like bad sections of Philly to do illegal things. And like, I could have been killed, kidnapped, hurt, whatever, and like not even in my mind, but learning from those mistakes, like actually trying to process, like, what was I really feeling in those moments? Why was I putting myself in those positions? Why was I hanging out with those types of people? Why was I doing those things? And it just really makes you reflect, and it brings like a lot of like self-discovery for me, and taking responsibility for it. And like, I feel like everyone comes to this point where they hit an age of adulthood where you start telling your parents all the things that you did, and they're like, please stop.
Yeah, yeah. My parents find out while I'm preaching.
Yes, your mom loves that. That's her favorite thing.
That is her favorite thing.
But yeah, and taking responsibility for it, like, because at the time it's so easy to be like, well, so-and-so said, da-da-da. Like, you're still making your own decisions. And whether your frontal cortex, is it your frontal cortex?
Yeah.
Is developed enough or not, like, you still kind of know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be cutting school every Friday, Jill. Mm-hmm. We know you got into college and whatever, but it doesn't mean that it's all over. You know that what you're doing is wrong. And now looking back on it, like, I full responsibility, but in the time, like, you're too proud for that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I agree with that, like, but to all those who are like me, I had this chip on my shoulder, this thing to prove, Enneagram 3, achiever in me, performer. Whenever it came down to taking responsibility and owning my mistakes, I had a hard time with it, and I always wanted to, I wanted to reject the correction because I felt as though that correction was rejection, right? Mm-hmm. Because like I needed to perform. So mm-hmm. if I felt like you, if you don't think I'm performing well, then like what is life?
Yeah.
That's how, you know, small my world was, right?
Yeah.
So I just needed to achieve, I needed to perform. So whenever someone brought correction or wanted to even talk to me about my mistakes,
or bucked, suggesting to try it differently.
Bucked so hard, and maybe I still do. So I'm just closing my eyes right now so I don't see you roll your eyes. But
I'll just do an evil giggle.
I realized that, here's what I thought. I thought that the need for correction meant that I was weak.
Mm.
But it's taken me 40-something years to realize that being incorrectable is actually weak.
Yeah, yeah.
And being corrected, that's just life. We all make mistakes and we all have space to grow and that kind of stuff. But that achiever, performer, chip on my shoulder, having to prove people wrong element in me, always wanted to reject correction at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, man, if I could go back to talk to 18-year-old Mike, I'd be like, yo, create a list of people. You don't let everybody correct you.
Yeah.
But create a list of people that you trust to speak into your life and just take every correction they have for you right on the chin, own it, and just get better.
Yeah.
And that is good performance.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not, you're not going to be perfect, so stop pretending there's some perfect standard of performance out there that you're going to achieve. It's a fallacy. Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So take the correction from their short list. Empower the right people in your life to give you that correction, and don't give them any lip about it. Mike.
Would you say that's like your biggest takeaway from high school? Biggest lesson that you learned?
Yeah, I think so. I think there might have been, I don't say this in a regretful way, there might have been some heights that I could have reached if I wasn't too proud to take correction and adjust it and adjust according to those corrections.
Yeah.
I wonder how much farther I would have gotten in certain areas of my life.
Mm, yeah, I feel that. I would say for me personally, I was always trying to prove my worth, but proving it in the wrong ways because I didn't feel that I was enough. So it was like, okay, well, let's go along with what these people are doing because then they're gonna like me and maybe then I'll feel like I'm good enough.
Yeah.
Or let's try this and then maybe I'll get the attention of that guy and then it'll be like, okay, like now I'm good enough. Or maybe if I act out, like all those things that it's just like I never felt like I was good enough. So either I was trying really hard to like find that, or the flip side, like, okay, I'm not going to be good enough. So screw it. Like, let's go nuts. So I kind of, the rebellion in me, I'm a Enneagram 8 challenger, shocking. But I think that like, I wish I knew who I was and I wish I had more self-worth throughout high school. I think I would, again, I don't know where I would have gone if I had that and I didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I just wild out.
I wish that I knew what I know now.
How long have you been sitting on that?
When I was, I don't know. I just literally thought of it.
Look at you.
The moment you were talking.
But so, yeah. So be thinking of us Friday or Saturday. It's supposed to rain now on Friday, so they might move the graduation to Saturday. But I will be wearing my waterproof mascara. Mike and I will be the parents crying in the corner, trying to soak in every minute. But like as we're preparing for his graduation party and we're pulling out all the old pictures, there's like a kindergarten picture of him in a cap and gown. And we're both just like, oh, my goodness, the old waterworks.
It's going to be all right.
But hey, nothing
is as devastating as it seems. Yeah.
And we just really hope that like at this point, this is something we keep on reminding ourselves, even with Hunter. Hunter's 16 now. Like we have parented them really well from what we think. Like there are times that we made mistakes like everyone else, but like we have ingrained in them good morals, we have taught them lessons, and at this point in their life, like they're going to make decisions that make us proud and they're going to make us decisions that disappoint us, but we have to trust what we have poured into them in these 16 and 18 years and letting go
and
letting them make their own decisions. and sitting front row and watching them grow into the men, I'm going to cry, that we've hoped that they would become.
She made it. While I give her time to dry her eyeballs, I would love it if in the comments, whether you're watching on YouTube or on our social media, like comment, what did you learn from high school? I want to hear it from the audience here. All right, so let's actually, for this time, for real, participate. I want to know, what did you learn in high school? I can't wait to respond to those comments and see what we could learn from each other.
Awesome. I'm back. I'm fine now. So be sure to, if you are watching us on YouTube, what's up? Mike copied my outfit today, clearly. We both went with the denim on denim look, but I did it first. You can check us out on YouTube. You can see us talk on the screen. Subscribe to our channel, hit share, give it a thumbs up. You can also check us out on Instagram. You can check us out on TikTok, Instagram at Jillian Rosato at Mike Rosato, TikTok at Jillian.Rosato at Mike Rosato. And you can listen to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever. If you go to our Spotify for Podcasters homepage, you can click on whatever podcasting platform you would like. You can follow us on there. You can support our podcast with a monthly subscription. It helps us to improve and do big things.
Yeah. And pay for our kids' college. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we had to take out that first loan.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. All right. But we will be back next Wednesday. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. I'm just rambling at this point. Bye.
Peace.